This morning in John chapter 15, we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ. The title of the message is Jesus Christ, the vine or the root, if you want to say the root, for believers. You know, Jesus Christ, I believe, is all that is required for us to live. Now, you can fill in the blank after that. He's all that is required for us to live for God. In other words, to live correctly before God. He is all that is required for us to live in peace. That includes peace within, but also peace with others. He's all that is required to live with contentment. He's all that is required for us to live above sin and above temptation. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And I really believe Jesus Christ is all that is required. You know, today we're going to look at how Jesus Christ provides basically for our life today. And we're going to get right into this. I'm having a very brief introduction, and we're going to get right into this. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the blessings you provided. As we look at these verses, I pray, Lord, that you'll encourage us today. Perhaps there's one here that just is going through some trials or some difficult times. I pray today this will be a reminder to them that if they just abide with you, that you'll provide what is necessary for them. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning on this passage concerning Jesus Christ as our vine or as the root of the branches. And the first thought I want to share with you is the vine provides life for the branches. The vine provides life for the branches. You know, the vine is essential for the branches. The branches, you think of this, the branches without a vine or without a root would not exist. They need a vine. They need a root so they can have life. The region where Jesus Christ ministered and the area where he lived, it was abundant with vines. And we don't know what was taking place, but perhaps he pointed or he referred to a vine or branches as he was talking to these men and sharing with them these great truths. And maybe as he instructed them, he said, look, there's a vine, and that's me, and you are the branches. Now the vine is the source of life. The vine is what comes out of the ground. The vine is what provides the nutrients so that the branches can live and so that they can produce fruit. You know, you can have a vine or a root without branches, but you'll never find branches without a root. Now if you find them, they'll be dead. They'll be off to the side. But you're not going to find them flourishing without a root or without a vine. It's just impossible. It doesn't happen. You won't find that in nature anywhere. You see, Jesus Christ is similar. That's the comparison here this morning. He is similar. In other words, he is essential for the believer. If we're going to have life, spiritual life, we must have Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is teaching. And the Bible says here, and he himself says this, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. You know, he put that in there, the true vine. You know, there's all sorts of imposters. You know, I think the devil is a great imposter. He produces all sorts of false teachings, all sorts of false teachers, all sorts of false churches. They can call them whatever they want, but if they're contrary to God and His Word, they're false. Now, they're imposters. Jesus said, I am the true vine. In other words, I am the one vine that provides life, the only vine. Not the false one, but the one that you can trust in. You see, Jesus Christ Himself, John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, this morning, everyone by nature is dead in their trespasses and sin. Now, I'm not talking about physical death, spiritual death. You know, before you were saved, the Bible teaches you were dead in your sins before God. Salvation through Jesus Christ provided life before the Lord. But by nature, all of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, there was no spiritual life to be found. None whatsoever. Because there is no life without God. Without God, we cannot live unto Him. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about this. He says, having the understanding darkened. He talks about those that are in the world. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You know, before you were saved, and maybe there's someone here this morning that is without Christ. Now, you've been in church, you've lived great, but you've never settled your salvation. You know, before we're saved, the Bible tells us that our understanding is darkened. It says nothing about our intelligence. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of intelligent people that are without Christ. Smart people. I mean, very intelligent. You see, salvation has nothing to do with our intelligence. Also, it says there that they were alienated from the life of God. You know, before you're saved, you can be in church, you can be religious, you can do good. But the Bible teaches that you're alienated from the life of God. In other words, you're opposite of Him. You're opposed almost to God until that is settled with the Lord. You know, basically, if you're without God, you have life. You have physical life, obviously. You have life as a natural man or as a natural woman would, but that's it. You have no spiritual life. And that's because you're without Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John 5. I want to point out a verse here, 1 John chapter 5. And I want to look at verse 12. 1 John chapter 5. And notice what it says there. It's a very brief verse, but it's straight to the point. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, right there in the Scriptures, it's clear as day. Now, He's not talking about physical life. You know, God has given us all physical life. He's created you and given you life. He's talking about spiritual life there. Those that have the Son, in other words, those that have trusted in Christ, have believed on Him as their Savior, they have spiritual life before God. They are alive before God. They can now live unto God. But those that do not have the Son, those that have not trusted in Christ as their Savior, the Bible teaches that they are without life. Spiritually, they are dead. You see, that's the problem that many face in this world today. Hope and pray everyone here has settled that. But if you want to have spiritual life, you must come to Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that very clear. You must repent and believe on Him. And the Bible teaches then you will receive the life that God is able to give. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. You know, Jesus Christ came so we could live. Not only live eternally, but we can live right now. You know, I don't think Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave His life so we could walk around in gloom and despair and just be miserable. I believe, as the Bible teaches there, that we can have life more abundantly right now. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have contentment. We can have strength. And the list goes on and on and on because of what God gives unto us. And that leads me into my second thought. You see, the vine provides life. Without that vine, there is no life. The branches cannot live. Jesus Christ is the same way. Without Him, we cannot have spiritual life. So that needs to be settled first. Hope and pray everyone here is saved. If not, you can settle that. Repent of your sin. Trust in Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's go to our second thought here in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The second thought I have concerning Jesus Christ being sufficient as the vine is that the vine produces fruit. First, we find that the vine provides life. But secondly, the vine produces fruit. Now, let me ask you a question. Those of you, I'm not a tree specialist. I'm not even going to attempt the word horticulturist, I think is what it is. I'll stumble through that. I'll just say tree specialist. I'm not a tree specialist. Someone here may be. But if you have an apple tree or any fruit tree and you walk out there and there's no fruit, something's wrong. Right? I mean, if it's not during the wintertime, if it's during the time that there should be some fruit there and there's no fruit, something's wrong. Either the tree has died or something's going on and you have to address it. You know, Bible teaches that as believers, we should produce fruit. And that's because of Jesus Christ. You see, God did not save us and then tell us to go do your best and I hope you can figure it out and hope you can produce the fruit that's pleasing unto me. We don't find that teaching in the Bible. You know what we find? We find that God has saved us, and God says, guess what? Now I'm going to remain with you, and I'm going to provide my power and my strength, and I'm going to work through you so you can live unto me. You see, that's the life of the believer, the new life that God has given to us. Now the vine. And I say vine and root because if you're looking at a tree, you may call it a root. For the vines, it's actually, they call it a vine. Basically, the vine or the root provides the strength for the branches. You know, if you ever go out and you look and you find the sap out there, that sap is not for the root, but it's for the branches. That sap is produced so that it can carry out into the branches, and so the branches can be nourished, and they can be strong, and so that they can have the fruit that they are intended to grow. You see, without the sap from the vine, the branches would just wither away and die. They would be gone. They need that sap so that way they can grow and they can be strong. That gives us, or brings us to our thought. You know, Jesus Christ is similar to that. You know, even after you're saved, you need His strength to get through life. Without that strength, you're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to have some difficult times. You know, when we look at this passage, it's talking about fruit. Now I want to make just one, I guess, a comment on this as far as fruit. Basically, the fruit it's talking about is anything that is good before God. I guess you say a good work, something that God would approve of. You know, works can be done by all. Even those without God can do good works. And I'll tell you this, I have some friends, and I call them friends, I believe they're friends. They don't claim to be saved. And I'll tell you what, they're good people. I have some friends that are without Christ that I would trust in certain situations. I really would. I mean, they have proven trustworthy as people. They have done good works. So works can be done by all. You know what's interesting? Remember this. On the day of judgment, that's what God is going to call people out on, their works. You know, all those that are trying to work their way to heaven, that's what God's going to look upon when they stand before Him. In Revelation chapter 20, He's going to call all their works into play. So there are good works in this world. But the works that are acceptable to God, I believe, are works that come from God's power and basically through Jesus Christ. As we'll see here in a minute, they come because we abide in Jesus Christ. We remain with Him and God works through our life. So we find in this passage, it's talking about branches that are good and branches that don't produce any fruit at all. And I have to throw this out there because I have talked to some who believe, oh, this passage is teaching that someone can be saved and be cast away. And now, the reason I want to say that that's wrong is, first off, you got to take every chapter in context. And here's the context of this chapter. Jesus Christ is talking to believers. Judas Iscariot wasn't here. You go and look into the reading of the Gospels, he wasn't here at this moment. This was the apostles that were saved. He's not talking about salvation. That was already settled in their life years before. He's talking about bearing fruit as a believer. You do realize, as a believer, it's possible not to bear fruit. Now, we don't want to think on that, but you know, it is. It's possible as a believer not to live so that God is working through us. You see, you think about this. When we look at the branches and think about the branches, you know, branches run into problems as they grow. Those of you that have trees, or you tend to trees, or you take care of trees, you understand this, or you have vines. You know, first they can fall on the ground, especially when it comes to vines. They can fall on the ground, the branches from the vine can fall on the ground and lay in the dirt, and they need to be lifted up. And that's what they call them, a husbandman. That's what they used to do. They would go and they'd find the branches that had fallen down, and they'd lift them back up, so they clean them off, and they get them back up on the vine so they can get growing again and begin producing fruit. Also, vines that produce these branches, you realize branches can appear to be healthy, but in reality they're not. They can look good, but when you go to find the fruit, there's no fruit there. Even though it's all green, something's wrong. Another thing about branches can grow into other, like vines. You can find vines that kind of grow together. And the next thing you know, a branch from this vine is growing out this way, and it's getting energy from here, and it's just a big old mess. You find that as well. And then the fourth one, obviously, is, you know, branches also grow old and they wither up and they die. That's just part of life. Now, here's some thoughts on this. And this is going to try to bring it practical for us. Do you know it's possible for believers to stop producing fruit? It's possible. You know, sometimes we can get attached to the world. Now think about that. As believers, we can just get so attached to this world that we begin to neglect the things of God. Reading the Bible gets set aside. Praying all of a sudden becomes a burden instead of a blessing. Going to church and getting involved is just, we just don't even think about it. You see, we can get so attached to the world. And by the way, I'm not talking about sin in this world. I'm just talking about living life. We can get so attached to things in this world that next thing you know, we've just no longer producing fruit. We're just living life, going from day to day. Also, and here's another one, we can become stained with sin. You know, the Bible teaches that we got to be aware of the devil because we can make mistakes. And we can become stained with sin. And because of that, then guess what? We can stop producing fruit because we'll no longer look to God. We got problems that we got to deal with. And thirdly, here's a third one. You know, age is going to catch up to every one of us. Now, I know some of you don't want to admit that or you don't want to believe that. But guess what? Age will eventually catch up to us. And as age catches up, then guess what? I'm not saying you're not going to produce any fruit, but you know what? The fruit may change that God will begin to produce through you. I'm sure there are some of you here this morning that probably look and say, you know what? There are some things I used to do that I just cannot do any longer. And it's not because of lack of desire. It's just lack of physical ability. And you know, God understands that, by the way. God understands that, and God will work in your life until He's ready to call you home. So just continue to be faithful. But anyway, the Bible tells us that we are like the branches. Now think about this. I guess they call them husbandmen is what they used to call them. But those that tend to branches and trees, what do they do as far as their work? What are some of the things they do? I'll give you some. First, you know, like we've already talked about them picking them up out of the dirt. They clean them off. If a branch falls, they'll pick it up so the tree can grow. But you know what they also do? They may remove branches that just to, you know, to kind of trim things up. That's called pruning is what they do. They go in to help the tree. Now, I'm not saying, see, some have run with this and said, well, God will remove people and cast. No, it's not talking about that. Here's what it's talking about. You know, the Lord may remove hindrances in your life. You ever seen a branch on a fruit tree that was just so heavy it was about ready to break? You ever seen that? It's best to get out and start pulling that fruit there so that way the branch can take some of that weight off and get back up there. Have you ever seen in the springtime, when a wet snow will come and sit on the branches, maybe the branches already have leaves, or even in the late fall, a heavy snow will come, and you'll have the trees will just be weighed down with that snow or that ice. And you'll have people sometimes will go start shaking the branches to try to get that off, so that way they don't bust or they don't break. You know, God, I believe, now think of this, the Bible says God is the husbandman. We're the branches, God is the vine, or Jesus is the vine. It says there in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. You know, I believe God often works in our life probably in a similar fashion. Even though we may not actually see how He's working, you know, God may remove hindrances in our life that may be burdens that we may not be able to get rid of. And God may remove those for us and help us. He also may remove some of those things that oppose our service to Him. You know, I had a pastor friend who told me once, he shared a story. He had two vehicles, and he was cutting it close on his weekly bills. And he said he prayed to God. He said, God, will you please help me with this? He got in an accident. He was fine. Car was totaled. He said he didn't think God was going to remove a bill. He thought God was going to give him more money to pay the bill. He said he come find out God actually just removed a bill from him, and he was able to make ends meet. You see, God can work that way. Now, He's not going to always work that way. I'm not saying God will always do that. But you see, God may work in your life. And at times it may seem like, why is He allowing this to happen? This hurts, or this doesn't seem to be right. That's when we just need to have faith in God that He, as the husbandman, is able to take care of those branches. He's able to get things, I guess, take care of things so our life will be what He wants it to be. You see, God does this so we may grow. He doesn't do this to hurt us. He doesn't do this to cause pain. He does it to help us out. You know, the husbandman that goes and trims back the branches and prunes the tree, they don't do that to destroy the tree. They do that to help the tree so it grows better. And so the branches can flourish and they can produce more fruit. Here's another one for you. How many of you have seen a branch that just shoots off in one direction? You know what they do sometimes if they want to keep the branch? They tie it back. They'll tie it maybe to another tree, or they'll tie it to the root to try getting it to straighten out and see if they can get it to go straight again so it's not leaning over. You know, when I was studying this out, I thought, man, God is patient. You know, God probably does that with us sometimes. You know, we get going one direction or we get going one way and we think we're doing everything fine and we get out of God's will and God just straightens us back up, pulls us back. And maybe through a trial, maybe through just an event or something that takes place that God opens up our eyes and we say, oh, I need to get right with you and seek forgiveness, and then we get right with God and He just kind of straightens us back. The reason why I say God is patient, because, you know, I've seen several men out here cutting grass and working on our trees. And I tell you what, we're not that patient with branches. There's a branch in our way, it's usually a clip, just get rid of it. It's easier just to deal with it. But you know, God, I think, is patient with us. You know, He'll straighten us out. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. And we serve a wonderful God. So, you know, before we close out this point real quick, I want to remind you that fruit comes in season. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, talking about the believer, it says this, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." That's Psalms 1, verse 3. You realize that fruit comes in season. In other words, you know, trees do not produce fruit year-round. You don't go to an apple tree and find fruit apples there year-round. They produce fruit in their season. Now, some, you know, trees are different than others, obviously. But I want to just remind you of this. Don't be discouraged if blessings do not pour down from heaven. How many of you ever had times where it just seems like the Lord was blessing you? I mean, one blessing came right after another. You know, you'd wake up and you're almost expecting another one because it just seemed like God was just opening so many doors. And then you've gone through months where it just seemed like you prayed and then you wondered, you knew God was there, but the blessings just didn't come as prevalent. This morning, I want to encourage you, if that's the case or whenever you run into that, don't be discouraged. Remember that fruit will come at the correct time. You know, just wait. Just wait. God may be about ready to bless you with an abundance of fruit or just an abundance of blessings. That also, I think, helps us when we witness. You know, we can witness to our friends, to our family, we can pray for them. But I'm going to tell you something, we can't make someone be saved. We can't. And we shouldn't try to. We shouldn't try to get someone just to say a prayer just so that we can say that they're saved or count them in our number. We should let the Spirit work in their life. We should witness to them. And really, I think we should really challenge them. We should encourage them. But you know what? It's between them and God. And there may be times in your life where you witness. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, there are times where I'll go through and wonder, wow, you know, no, there just seems to be no response from some people or from some neighborhoods as we go out and reach out. Just remember, fruit will come in its season. God, let's just be faithful and let's continue. And God will bless when it's time. God will produce that fruit. We just need to trust in Him. Also, I want to remind you, before we get into our last thought, God is the husbandman. In other words, God is taking care of all things. He's got a plan, and we can trust in Him. So take comfort in that God is the husbandman. I got one point real quick, one last one, that I want to finish up and close with. And this is, the vine promotes godliness, or promotes correct living, if that's how you want to put it. The vine promotes godliness. We've seen that the vine provides life. We've seen that the vine produces fruit. But the vine also promotes godliness. Notice what it says in John 15. It says there in verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Verse 4, "Abide in me, I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." You know, without Jesus Christ, we cannot live a life that is pleasing unto God. It's just impossible. We just can't do it. You know, the vine makes the branch what it is. The vine is what produces the strength. You see, if you ever see a strong branch out on a tree, you can be certain that there's a strong root there. If you see a tree that is just withering away, then there's something wrong with the root. That's just what it is. Jesus Christ is powerful. He's perfect. You know, this morning, there's nothing wrong with Him. If we're not producing fruit, we need to examine our own life. And I encourage you, know, it's good as believers, every once in a while, to step back and say, "God, am I right with you? Is there something I need to address? If there is, let me know so I can settle that and take care of it." You know, I think, when you think of believers, you know, there are branches. There are branches, I guess you say, that have great possibilities. But without a strong root, there's no value in that branch. You know, we've seen trees die. big strong branches will die with it and they'll be gone. You know, there are believers that have been gifted, that have talents and that have skills. I guess you could say they have potential. But without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. You can have great skills and great gifts, but without Jesus Christ, we can't use them to God's glory. We need to trust in Christ. As it says here, and we're talking about here as we get ready to wrap this up, we need to abide in Christ. Oswald Sanders, he was an old preacher, he said this. He said, "Each of us is as close to God as we choose to be." You ever thought about that? If we're not producing fruit or if we're not walking with God, it's not God's fault. It's us. There's a story about an old couple who are driving down the road in their pickup truck. And the wife looked over at the husband. She said, "You know, we never sit close to each other anymore. We never snuggle up in the truck like we used to." A few minutes went by and the old farmer looked at his wife. He said, "Well, I haven't moved." And you know, this morning, that's how it is with God. He's not going anywhere. He's never going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. If we're having problems with peace or contentment or whatever, we need to get back to Him. The problem is we may have moved. We may have just allowed the world to influence us or to discourage us, whatever it is. We need to get back with God. You know, that leads me into just real quick, these last thoughts on abiding with Christ. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Because He says there that we must abide with Him. That word for abide means to dwell with somebody, to remain there. Physically, you have a home or a place that you dwell. After church, you're going to go back there. That's your abode, they may call it. Bible says we need to abide with Christ. We need to remain with Him. Here's three thoughts on that real quick. First, we need to abide in His righteousness, not ours. You know, Luke chapter 15 talks about the Pharisee that believed he was righteous because of what he did. Because he had this money and he could hand out money in great offerings. And he believed he was righteous. And Jesus Christ made it clear that was not the righteousness that God was pleased with. So we need to abide in God's righteousness. And Paul talks about that in Philippians 3. I don't have time to turn over there, but he talks about the righteousness of God, which we have by faith. And even after we're saved, we can't depend on our strength. We need to depend on God and trust Him. Secondly, we need to abide in His teachings. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." We need to abide in the teachings that Jesus Christ has given and has provided. That means we need to read His words, study it, and meditate upon it. You know, I think the most vulnerable believer, to temptation, to troubles, to trials, is the believer that either knows not the Bible or is not in their Bible. I believe they're the most vulnerable believer because they can be easily discouraged. They don't understand or they don't have knowledge of the promises of God. Or they're not constantly reminded of how God is working in their life because they're studying and reading. And so I encourage you this morning to read God's Word. Abide in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we need to abide in His love. We're in John chapter 15. Notice what it says. Let's just go down to verse 9. It says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, He says, in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." You know how we abide in His love? Obedience. That's what it says there. We keep His commandments. In John 14, verse 23, I'll just read it to you. It says something similar right there in John 14. And 23 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." To abide in Christ is to be obedient to Him. And that's how we abide in His love. We continue in it by just obeying what He teaches. You know, I think these really are daily decisions that must be made. Now, not saying that you have to get up each morning and think necessarily, I'm going to do this. But as we live, we have to make these decisions to abide with Christ and to remain there with Him. And when we choose not to or we neglect it, then we may set ourselves up for trouble. You know, in closing this morning, I want to close with an illustration that I hope really kind of just sums this whole message up. It's an illustration, from my understanding, a true story. A couple of young boys and brothers lived out on this farm, and they went one day with their dad into the woods. And as they were going along, they saw a crabapple sprout. Now, they weren't sure what it was at first. They just saw this sprout, and they asked their dad, can we dig it up and take it home and plant it? And he said, sure. And so they dug it up, and they took it home, and they planted it outside their house, and they told their dad they were going to take care of it, and they were going to have some apples is what they were going to have. And so they did. They took care of it, and it kind of branched up, and a few years later, it began to produce fruit. Well, to their discouragement, the fruit was crabapples. It wasn't apples. They had picked a crabapple sprout is what they had taken. And there may be some here who enjoy crabapples, but there's not really a whole lot you can do with crabapples. They're hard. They're knotty. I've heard some say they can make jam out of them and jellies. I know growing up, we had crabapple trees nearby, and we usually used them for weapons, I guess you say. That's about it. They're hard. There's just not a lot you can do with them. Well, see, these boys were a little bit discouraged. And they went and told their dad that they were disappointed. They showed them these crab apples, and their dad said, well, boys, maybe you haven't worked hard enough. Now, that's a dad, you know. Just double your efforts. Go out and work. And so they went back, and that year they did. They fertilized that tree, that sprout, that tree that had grown up a little bit. They fertilized it. They doubled their work. They put a fence around it, and they took care of it. And, well, when it produced its fruit, it was still crab apples. They just had a lot more of them. And they went to their dad and said, Dad, you know, it's the same thing. And their dad said, well, I got an idea. Let's go out. And they went out in the woods, and they found he knew where some apple trees were. And he went out there, and he went out and got a good twig of an apple tree. Cut it off. He came back to that crabapple tree, and he sawed off all the limbs of the crabapple tree. And what he did is he took that apple branch, and he engrafted it in, is what he did, into that tree. And he said, well, let's see what happens. Well, by that next year, that branch began to produce fruit. And it was apples, because it was an apple branch. Well, several years later, the story is told that those boys, basically their job was to cut back all the sprouts of the crabapple tree so that this branch that had begun to grow out into several other branches could produce the fruit from the strength of that root that was a crabapple tree. You know, the reason I wanted to close with that example is because the Bible teaches in the book of James that we are engrafted in Jesus Christ. Once we're saved, the Bible teaches salvation. You see, we are not good people by nature. We're sinners by nature. When we are saved, we're forgiven and we're given a new life. And like, and by the way, from my understanding, farmers and those that work with trees still do this on regularly. Like a branch that is engrafted into a root, we are given a new life and we're engrafted into Jesus Christ. And you know what we need to do as believers? We need to make sure that those old branches or those sprouts that want to come back, the flesh basically, we need to make sure those stay cut back so that way Christ can work in our life and that He can produce the fruit that is pleasing unto Him. You see, that's basically what the teaching is of Jesus Christ being the vine and we are the branches. If we allow Him, if we yield to Him, we submit to Him, He will work in our life and He'll produce that fruit. So this morning, in closing, I do believe that Jesus, if you're saved here this morning, I believe He'll provide comfort in trials. He can do that. I believe He'll provide strength in weakness, whether it's troubles or temptation. And I also believe that He'll provide fruit that is good before God. What we must do as believers is abide in Him. So I want to encourage you this morning to abide in Christ. Remain in Christ. I believe you'll be blessed if you do so. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Because of the setup this morning, we're not going to have a